Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number two is underway. The Rob Brown Show is right here on your radio. Rob Diesel, you. Thanks for being a part of it. Thanks for hanging out, letting us be a part of your day, and for being a part of ours. We very much appreciate it. Diesel hitting his stride after a week off, back in the building. Good to have you back, man. How was the? I know you were doing adulting stuff. How was the adulting coming along?
I'm just glad to take a vacation from vacation. It sucked.
I was gonna say I was following along with your social media progress, and I have to tell you, you look like you were working harder not at work than you work at work.
Yeah, that is 100% true. Vacation, you're supposed to relax and decompress and get away from it. I just had to go do something else that was worse.
You did not do that.
I had to go do something that was worse.
So you got floors laid.
Some of them laid.
Some of the floors
laid. There's
still
a lot more to do.
I actually heard the anguish in your voice when you said that.
I got a house painted. Floors. Some of the floors laid. The biggest rooms are done. It's little stuff now. We got an apartment that everything was just like shoehorned in. We couldn't have got more stuff in there. And now comes the fun part of fixing the yard. It's in rough shape.
I am not envious of you at all. Like, not even a little. I have to tell you, last week, towards the end of the week, for those of you who are new to the show, you know that, or you don't know this. For those of you who have been listening for any length of time, I twirl pens with my fingers, right? That's what I do. I twirl pens with my fingers. It's not really a nervous habit, but I'm an animated person, right? If you've ever seen me do anything on camera, I'm very animated. I talk with my hands, etc. So to keep my hands occupied while I am doing the show and I have to sit still for more than 8 minutes at a time, I twirl a pen, which very frequently leads to me dropping my pen. So last week, on Thursday and Friday, both days I dropped the pen one time, and both times when I did, I picked up the pen and I threw it physically across the room to the other side of the desk where I could not get it and left it there. Tim was making all kinds of jokes about it. Listeners were making all kinds of jokes about it. And I made the joke on Friday that on Wednesday after I threw the pen, I came in on Thursday, there was a new pen. So on Thursday after I dropped the pen, I threw the pen, I came back on Friday, there was another new pen. Different pens. Not like somebody picked it up and put it back. Different pens. I came in here today after, I thought, getting rid of every pen in this building, because the only way to prevent an addiction is to just not have the stuff around to tempt you. I came in today to get ready for the show. I left my main pen out at my desk, as I have developed the habit of doing. And what do I find on my desk? But, yeah, somebody with jokes left about 15 pens sitting right there on my keyboard, tempting me, daring me to start picking up and twirling pens again. And I want you all to know that I have refrained from doing that. It has taken every ounce of willpower in my being.
Just give me all of them.
Just go. I'm legit gonna find when I find out who it was. I haven't decided what my retaliation, and I have a pretty strong suspicion of who it was. Lonzo claims it was not him. Lonzo said it was not him. Lonzo said he thinks that Tim did it. He thinks it was Tim's plan because Tim was the one that had all the comments last week. Lonzo thinks Tim did it. I'm going to get to the bottom of this Scooby-Doo mystery, and I haven't decided what I'm going to do to the perpetrator, but payback is incoming. We talked a little baseball on the way out at the end of the last segment. Delvin's called in, wants to continue that conversation. Delvin, thanks for hanging on, buddy. Good to have you.
Good to talk to you, too. Man, don't get – you got infighting, too, with Taylor Ballard going against Scott Boras and his players saying that Scott Boras need to stay out of the business and interrupt the negotiation.
I saw that. And, you know, look – I tend to agree with that to some level, although I understand where Scott Boras is coming from for two reasons. Number one, obviously, the most glaring one, Delvin, is that Scott Boras's paycheck depends on the paycheck of his agents. And if his agents' paychecks get cut in half, then his paycheck gets cut in half. That's how it works. On the flip side, Scott Boras's job is not to protect Major League Baseball. It's not to make Major League Baseball look good. Does it benefit him if he does? Maybe. But Scott Boras's job is to get the best that he can get for his players. And as I pointed out, Delvin, and I don't know if you agree with this, you're welcome to comment. As was pointed out, the players' point is valid. The players have a good point, but so do the owners. So I don't know if Boras is the voice of reason in that conversation.
I'm going to get down to what I think this really is about. I think the owners want to do a salary cap. And they figure they can cut the players' pay and start like a little salary cap situation. And the players don't want that. That's what I think it's really about. They want to do a salary cap. Cause we talked about hockey. And you saw hockey had a salary cap. The owners wanted a salary cap. And the players didn't want that. Eventually, they got a salary cap. But that's what I think Major League Baseball is trying to do. Hey, let's cut their pay, make it sort like a salary cap. Then when we go to the CBA, we can just throw this in there and say, hey, we want a salary cap. And the players don't want to see. And the players see what they're trying to do and say, oh, we don't want no salary cap. We want the money we may keep making now. That's what I think is the root of all evil of this.
Yeah, no, you're right, Delvin. I appreciate the phone call. Good to have you, buddy. I do do appreciate you jumping in here. Yeah, the salary cap discussion is, I think, the biggest crux of all of this, right? The players are doing what they can do to prevent one. The owners, I honestly don't know if the owners want one or not. I don't think they have a unified position. I don't know if the owners want a salary cap or not. I can tell you I am wildly in favor of a salary cap, not to say that I want players to have a cap on how much money they can make. But I want a salary cap so that Major League Baseball has parity once again. Kind of over just the same six teams making it every single year because they got the biggest payroll. Kind of tired of having that conversation at the end of every season where the Yankees went out and just bought whoever the hell they wanted to buy again because they can afford it. I'm all for a salary cap in baseball. But this is the spot, and I think this is pretty apropos of basically everything going on in the country at this point, Diesel. This is the point where I think all of us have to look at our major gripes, our major issues, our major concerns, and recognize that until we come out the other side of whatever this is that is 2020, when we come out of the other side of this period of American history, which I think will be talked about in history classes 50, 60, 70 years from now, we are all going to have to make some sacrifices to get through it. And unfortunately, some people are not going to make sacrifices. Some people are going to live their life. I saw earlier today on Twitter where a young lady pointed out that one of her uncles who refused to socially distance and refused to wear a mask, who is living with her grandmother, who is in her late 80s. Want to guess what happened to that fella, Diesel?
Got the coronavirus.
He got the Rona. And so that means for a couple of weeks, he has been walking around her 80-plus-year-old grandmother and his kids, who are younger kids, positive with the Rona because he didn't believe in any of it because he wouldn't make the sacrifice. And now those people have to deal with it. We are all having to make some sacrifices to get through this. The fact that baseball owners and baseball players who are significantly more fortunate than the vast majority of everyday Americans are not able to come to a spot where they both can make the sacrifices required to go play baseball for a year, to give us some entertainment for a few months, is a major problem. A major problem. It is a discussion that needs to be had and figured out between them. And the fact that they cannot come up with a solution to get out on the field and play is going to do irreparable harm to baseball. Will a salary cap come from this? I don't know, is the answer. I can't tell you for sure. What I can tell you is that if they decide to strike off the 2020 season and call it dead before it gets here, they'll be answering for that for many, many years. You can be a part of the show. I've told you in the past, I'll tell you again, this is an interactive show. Why don't you take more calls, Rob? I take every call I get. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text me 71307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters through to me. Get me on the Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. Diesel's on Twitter at Diesel on Radio. And the ESPN Upstate Twitter handle is at ESPN Upstate. Want to continue to talk to you about our Senior Sports Spotlight. We are honoring members of the graduating class of 2020 from right here in the Upstate, those that had their senior year completely screwed up by the pandemic. We have had on some very, very impressive high school seniors. Very impressive high school seniors. We have had them on the show to talk to them about their lives through the virus, their lives moving forward, what they have accomplished and what they want to accomplish. And I have to tell you, it has been nothing short of very impressive. We have a handful more nominees you'll be hearing from throughout this week, but we are looking for more. If you know someone that deserves to be honored for their work as a high school senior, we are asking you to go to the website, ESPNUpstate.com, click on the button that says Senior Sports Spotlight. Go there and nominate your graduating senior high school athlete who deserves the recognition, and we will put them live on air right here on our local programming on ESPN Upstate. It's ESPNUpstate.com. Click on the Senior Sports Spotlight button and nominate them there. When we come back here in mere moments from now, let's talk MMA for just a second. Dana White says a current athlete could have been the LeBron James of his sport but ruined his own career. The debate rages on amongst the MMA. What will be the conclusion of the saga of John Bones Jones? We'll address that when we come back. Rob Diesel, you the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. Rob Diesel back from vacation, and you. Phone lines are open. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. You can email me, robbrown@espnupstate.com. Get me on the Twitter, @TheRobBrownShow, @DieselOnRadio, or @ESPNUpstate, if you want to go in that direction. Lots of ways that you can interact with the broadcast. The saga of Jones continues. John Bones Jones and Dana White sparring verbally over the weekend. It was reported that John Bones Jones was seeking a fight with heavyweight Francis Ngannou, who is a monster of a man, by the way. The Predator is arguably my favorite fighter right now, not just because he is a straight OG who throws cinder blocks in the octagon, but because he's also just a genuinely good dude. He's so soft-spoken. I don't know if you've seen a Francis Ngannou fight. I watched the one a couple of weeks at 249. Where he won in like 28 seconds, and they go up to him and they put the mic in his face. And Joe Rogan's like, "Tell me about that win, man. It's so exciting for you, right?" And he's like, "Yes, you know, it was a great win. He had some not so nice things to say about me before the fight, and I showed how just how good I am." And
those are the fighters you got to be terrified
of. Oh my God, it's that soft-spoken dude, but then he goes out there, and it feels like if he hits your head, it's just going to pop off your shoulders. Anyway, Jones wanted a fight with him, but he wanted a ridiculous amount of money for it. He wanted upwards of 25 plus million dollars. And it's not happening. So over the weekend, Jones, to his $2.3 million Twitter followers, suggested, quote, to the light heavyweight title, Veni, Vidi, Vici. I say, I came, I saw, I conquered. Asked if he was giving up his title by a follower, he said, quote, yes, end quote. When one of Jones' 2.3 million Twitter followers suggested he was hurting himself more than the UFC, Jones replied, quote, I hurt myself every time I walk out there and take a punch to the head and not feel my pay is worth it anymore. The 32-year-old is accused of wanting, quote, crazy money, end quote, according to Dana White. Pull some sound here, if you don't mind, Diesel. We are going to go to clip 5A. Dana White has said that John Jones wants, like, spectacular fight money, like super fight money, for a fight that he would regularly have. Said these types of fights would be right up Jones' wheelhouse, but he's not getting the draw that Dana White would want to put $20-plus million into a paycheck for. Said it's just not there. Quote, he can do whatever he wants. He can sit out. He can fight. He can do whatever. John Jones can say whatever he wants publicly. It's his God-given right here in America. He can say whatever he wants, and when he's ready to come back and fight, he can. Here's what, let's go to the audio. Here's what Dana had to say.
Being the greatest of all time doesn't mean you get $30 million. Being able to sell. John Jones has done a lot of things to himself. He's saying, in one of his tweets, he was saying that I tarnished his I tarnished you, you've done a very good job of tarnishing you. I'm always looking at what John Jones could have been. He could have been the LeBron of the sport. He could have been literally that big. The stuff that he's been through to show up and basically demand $15 million or $20 million or $30 million, it's crazy.
John Jones, immediately after Dana said that, went on Twitter again and called Dana White a blanking liar and encouraged him to release text messages in which he allegedly requested a payday in the realm of $30 million and also dared the company to release him. White explained, following UFC's latest event in Vegas, that Jones had not, quote, made himself worthy, end quote, of that type of money, and argued that Jones' history of outside-the-cage issues has held him back from earning bigger paydays. Jones responded by saying, quote, I tarnished you. You've done a very good job of tarnishing you. Went on to say the reporter asked Dana to show the text messages. Instead, he gives a 55-second response talking about why I would lie. At no point did I ever demand anything from you, Dana. I simply asked for a super fight and asked to be compensated for it. You were the one who started talking negotiations publicly and showing the world how much you've been withholding from your athletes this whole time. Hunter and I had a very respectful conversation. I love how you're trying to paint this picture of me being some angry guy disrespectfully demanding money and then bringing up my out-of-the-cage affairs to justify underpaying me by tens of millions per year. You're talking all that big guy stuff about not caring. Put your money where your mouth is and release me from that contract. I'd probably make more money in my first boxing max than my next three UFC fights combined. There's real estate, acting, just kicking it and being a dad. No one needs to put up with Dana's lies, end quote. One of the things that a lot of athletes, including now John Jones, has had to learn the hard way is that when you act a fool outside of your sport, there are ramifications and consequences within it. I'm not saying that John Jones is wrong. I'm saying that when you have the issues that John Jones has had away from the octagon, and listen, I was, when John Jones was the prodigy, when John Jones was going to be the big upper in UFC, he was going to be the guy, no questions asked. I was as big of a John Jones guy as it got. I went out of my way. There's only a handful of fighters in my MMA fan history that I have gone, nope, I'm going out of my way to see this guy, no matter what he does. Lyoto Machida was on that list for me for years. Anderson Silva was on that list for years. And at the time, John Bones Jones was on that list for me. Now, I am not a Dana White bootlicker. I am not a big fan of Dana White. I absolutely believe that Dana White is the type of cat that would take liberties to benefit himself and the company over the well-being of his athletes. I don't have any argument against that. I think that's absolutely true. And I'll be honest with you. I would absolutely think that Dana White should release any text messages or voicemails or whatever from John Jones saying he wants $20+ million per fight. There's not a lot of athletes that demand, not a lot of MMA fighters that command $20+ million for a fight. You have got to make it to guaranteed first ballot Hall of Fame status as an active fighter who's still winning if you want that much money to end up on the table for you. John Jones has not done that. He would have. I agree with Dana. Dana said he would have been the LeBron James of the sport, and I think that's exactly correct. I think if John Jones had his head on straight, he would have been the icon of this generation of MMA fighters. But instead, he's acted a fool. And if you act like a clown, you'll find yourself in a circus. That's what's happened to John Jones. I don't believe that Dana White is the type of dude who always acts on the up and up with his fighters. He is a promoter at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, a promoter has one job: promote. A promoter has one job: ensure that you have the most amount of money coming in as possible. drama with John Jones will do that the next time that John Jones gets into an octagon, especially if John Jones keeps acting a fool outside of the UFC. That being said, over the weekend, John Jones was seen on camera in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he chased down a couple of protesters holding cans of spray paint who were going out to vandalize public property. And he ran up to them and said, "Don't do this. This is not what this is about. This is not okay. You are hurting the same people that you claim to be trying to help by doing this." And he talked these two vandalizers, at least temporarily, out of doing something stupid. He has shown that he could be that guy. And I hope that his incidents outside of the octagon will push him closer to being that guy. But the situation that he has created in his life will prevent him from getting the payday that it seems as though he wants, if Dana White is to be believed. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. How do you feel about this, MMA fans? Do you believe John Jones? Do you believe Dana White? Or do you think they're both full of it? I happen to think they're both full of it. I think Dana White is absolutely the dude who would take advantage of a situation to withhold the money if he can. On the flip side, I think John Jones views himself in a light that is maybe a little bit brighter than it should be to most of us. Do you agree, disagree? 844-GSP-ESPN. When we come back, we went racing yesterday at what I think is the most entertaining NASCAR circuit race. We'll have some audio from the end of that race, which was absolutely wild, and a whole lot more. Rob Diesel, you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the past tense of boogity, boogity, boogity? I don't know.
Boggity, boggity, boggity?
You stick a D?
Or boogadied.
Boogadied?
Boogadied?
Boogadied, boogadied, boogadied. We went racing, boys. Bristol yesterday. Just to tell you, the moments of disappointment from the Rona seem to be increasing. Sunday the race started, and I got really bummed out, Diesel, because considering we are only 2.5 hours from the last great Coliseum, I had very much planned on being at that race yesterday. I was going to be at Bristol. I was going to be one of the 106,000 that were sitting there in that stadium watching the boys spin circles. And that did not happen. I sat on my couch and watched it, which is okay. I'm not mad about it. It was a nice day. The windows were open. The geese were honking outside like the little you-know-whats that they are. It was a nice day, but I absolutely wanted to be there. What I would have been treated to if I was there, we're going to go to cut 4A here, Diesel, when you're ready. What I would have been treated to was a couple of very, very interesting accidents, a little bit of chaos. Here's a supercut of a little bit of sound. You are going to hear the events of the very end of the race that led to Brad Keselowski and that lucky rabbit foot he's got shoved somewhere in that fire suit. ending up with his second stolen victory of the year. You're going to hear the reaction of Brad Keselowski. But you're also going to hear from Joey Logano because of what happened at the end of that race. Here's how it played out.
Is Logano faster in the bottom than Chase is up top?
Oh, yes, he is. He's going to get that lead.
But can he keep it? Three to go.
Wow, what a battle here. They touch.
A little bump and run there from Chase Elliott. They're up and in the wall. Here comes Keselowski.
Wow.
And Kyle Busch. Oh, my goodness.
Well, Chase just sent it in there, got loose, took them both out.
Two to go. Keselowski, Boyer for second from nowhere. Johnson third, Kyle Busch fourth, Eric Jones fifth. White flag, one to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank, only at Bristol.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Those tires working for Keselowski and those leaders.
He's going to steal another one.
Yeah, he is.
Two Sundays in a row.
Great job.
Brad Keselowski wins Bristol.
Oh, my goodness. I think everybody on this Discount Tire Ford Mustang team is going to go to Vegas. Is it open yet? Because things have been going our way from the luck of the draw and the qualifying to, you know, the last few laps there. We couldn't get anything to go our way at the start of the race, you know, with cars staying out and kept getting the bottom lane on restarts, Matt. And just nothing was working out. Then at right at the end, we came in, we put two tires on the lefts and drove up to, I guess, fourth or sixth, I don't know, something like that, and put ourselves in position.
No, he wrecked me. I mean, he got loose underneath me. The part that's frustrating is afterwards, a simple apology, like, be a man, come up to someone and say, hey, like, my bad. But I had to force an apology, which to me is just childish. But anyways, man, we had a good recovery with our Auto Trader Mustang and had a shot to win, and that's all you can hope for. And passed him clean. It's hard racing at the end. I get that. It's hard racing. But golly, man, be a man and take the hit when you're done with it.
Just going for the win, you know, trying to get it underneath him. Got really loose in. I don't know if I had a tire going down or if I just got loose on entry. But as soon as I turned off the wall, I had zero chance in making it. So, you know, I'll certainly take the blame. Yeah, I don't think so. I think I just got loose and got up into him. So, yeah, you know, I felt like that was my shot. He was really good on the short run and I feel like I had to keep him behind me right there in order to win the race with only, you know, three or four laps to go. So I hate we both wrecked, but it's, you know, can't go back in time now.
That was the voices of Brad Keselowski stealing his second dub in as many races, of Joey Logano, who was battling Chase Elliott 1 and 2. And by the way, has there been a more interesting follow in NASCAR this season than Chase Elliott? From what happened with Kyle Busch in that first race back at Darlington, he's gotten himself a W. He has been huge in the Xfinity races. And then yesterday, a guy that everybody was kind of developing a minor crush on because of his success over the past few weeks, ends up getting loose coming out of a turn with a couple of laps to go, set up, if not to win at Bristol, then at least set up to be in a position to end up in second place at Bristol. And instead, he ends up spinning out Joey Logano. Both of them fall dramatically back. It opens the door for Brad Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch to step up and have better finishes than you would have thought that they would have. That race was perfect. That race, and listen, NASCAR has an edge. We've talked about this. NASCAR has an edge in returning to sport in that races without fans as oh my God, it was so beautiful. Did you get to see any of it? I know you were
no.
Housing.
No, I was housing.
Dude, it was like 73 degrees, sunny.
Rub it in. I've been in a bubble for the last 2 weeks.
We all have been in a bubble, Diesel. That's
I've been
not
in
true.
A bubble within a bubble.
A bubble.
It's like
bubble.
A dome within a dome.
A bubble.
We're going to start my own dome. It's a dome within a dome. It's from Biodome.
I know what it was. It was a.
Can we get a wellness check on Pauly Shore? Make sure he's okay.
Where is Pauly Shore? Making the coffee. Where is Pauly Shore? I have to know. Curiosity. Anyway, that was a perfect race. It was everything you wanted. It was drama. It was wrecks. It was accidents. It was just bad. It was good, but it was just bad. Apparently coming out, he was in a film called The Midnight Gospel at some point year. He was also...
Bet it's not as good as Uncut Gems, which is on Netflix now. Oh my God, if you haven't seen it, it's the most uncomfortable movie you'll ever see.
I haven't seen it. And is it because I've seen American History X? So...
Okay.
Yeah!
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, it's pretty uncomfortable. And it all circles Kevin Garnett and the Celtics in the playoffs. And so it's basically, it's like watching sports, basically, in a way.
I haven't made it to this episode yet. Have you ever watched Hell's Kitchen?
No.
All right. I am currently in love with Hell's Kitchen. It's just what I'm watching right now. Like, it's my late night TV. I've gone back and I'm catching up on old episodes of Hell's Kitchen. Well, apparently, Pauly Shore did a cameo on Hell's Kitchen in 2016. And I kind of need to go find it.
I love how you're twiddling a pen right now when you just went on like a rant earlier about how you don't touch pens anymore because you can't not drop them. And then look at you. It's a nervous twitch. Why you got to take that on Mark McGwire like that?
Mark McGwire deserves everything he gets. All right. Now that all my pens are all on the floor on the other side of the studio. Which I have to pick up. I don't know why I did that. Because I have to.
Yeah, I'm not doing that for you.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, look, the race was perfect. It was as good as I want it to be at Bristol. I think for me, Bristol and Martinsville are the two best tracks on the circuit. Okay, I've said this for years. As far as I'm concerned, you could get rid of half of the cookie cutter 1.5 milers. Vegas, Atlanta, Texas. I'm not saying those three, but you could cut dramatically down on the 1.5 cookie cutters and give me 3 or 4 more short tracks and give me another road course or two. That would be the best thing NASCAR can do for itself. I have got people right now that have been trying out NASCAR because of the pandemic, right? That's what we got to do. Some that seem relatively interested in potentially becoming a NASCAR fan. And then they watch a 1.5 cookie cutter track. You know the ones where the first place car is 2.5 seconds ahead of the second place car, is 2.5 seconds ahead of the third place car. And the last 100 miles of that lap, just kind of boring. Okay? Darlington doesn't do that. Charlotte does. Sorry, Charlotte. Love you. Can't wait to go to a race in Charlotte, just to say I've been there. But that happens. With the exception of like the Coke 600, which is that special exception. But watch Atlanta this weekend. Very rarely do 1.5 milers have a sprint to the finish line at those tracks. Usually the announcers with 1.5, 2 laps to go are saying, and Brad Keselowski is going to cruise under the white flag on his way to victory. Like, no, it's... Those tracks stand out best because it's just a matter of what driver's in the best equipment. And the better teams are always on top. Give me Bristol. Give me Martinsville. Give me give me Pocono. Give me Phoenix. Give me Homestead, Miami. Give me Indy. Give me the tracks that are odd-shaped, that change the game, that change the structure, that make NASCAR more competitive. When you get those races where you have spins on the last lap, photo finishes, guys neck and neck coming down under the white flag, that's where you're going to win more fans, unless you just don't want to, in which case, do your thing. Do your thing.
Mirror mode. We need to have mirror mode.
Every now and then go the other
way. On the cookie cutter tracks.
Honestly, okay, just do something. Just something.
Let's see if these professionals can make right-hand turns.
Well, look, you know they can. We've all seen Sonoma. We've all seen the road tracks. And hell, the road tracks get uber competitive sometimes because they are having to turn left and right. There's two whole directions to go. And those tracks are great. That's why I'm saying if NASCAR wants to keep bumping up its ratings and bumping up its fan count, stop running the cookie cutter mile and a half where the best equipment wins point blank. Add more short tracks. Hell, add a dirt track in there every now and then. Add a couple more road tracks. Add some mile and a halfers, but that have three different shape turns. Pocono is a great track. You got a big, heavy bank turn. You got a flat turn that makes you take the brakes. You got a long straightaway and a couple of short sprints. Make them change it up. It's so much better that way, isn't it? Quick break. When we come back here in just a minute, one NFL player is speaking out about how broadcast without fans should go, and I could not agree with him anymore. That's coming up next on The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the record, Texter at 71307 started with ESPN. You heard me drop 15 pens. Twice. Once for exaggeration, and once when I threw 15 pens across the room so that I wouldn't drop any more of them again. But then I stood up at the beginning of the last break to walk out of the room, and one of those pens that I put on the floor, I stepped on it, it shot up into the air, and then clattered all over the floor. So even when I'm actively trying not to be annoying, I figure out ways to do it.
That's exactly what irony sounds like.
But I'd just like to go on the record and say both Texter and Diesel, you can both stop being so dramatic. Just stop being dramatic.
Texter says I should play the sounder that Tim made. I don't know where it is. Otherwise, I'd play it.
Good.
How does it make you feel that there's a sounder for whenever you drop a pen?
Unsurprised. I mean, I am surprised only that it took that long, if we're being real. DeSean Jackson is arguing that if we are going to play NFL games without fans, that fans should have the option to hear what's happening on the field. On a podcast over the weekend, DeSean Jackson said that if we are going to play games without fans, that every player should be mic'd and fans should be allowed to hear exactly what it sounds like out on the field. And I think that is just spot on. I don't know why, Diesel. The concept of artificial noise being pumped into my broadcast, hearing a cheering crowd when there, you know, ain't one, is just genuinely off-putting to me. I don't like it. And I think it's for two reasons. Number one, I just feel like I'm being lied to by somebody who's really bad at it, right? But number two, I said last week that one of the things about this coronavirus pandemic that I don't want to see taken for granted, I don't want to see sports miss the opportunities that are being presented to it. Even though we don't want those opportunities are there. And I don't want to see sports miss those opportunities that are right in front of their face. One of them is the opportunity to allow people like us who will never play an NFL football game. We will never get to experience that. I want to know what it's like on the field. I'm talking down to the nitty-gritty dirt, the smack talk, the inappropriate language, the play calls. And I could see, like, if I'm a coach, I don't want mics on the field, right? Because I don't want the other team to be able to hear play calls and start to figure out signs and signals and all that. I don't want any of that. And I understand coaches not wanting to have mics on the field. But from a fan perspective, Diesel, a couple of events that we have had where sports have come back and they've let us be intimately involved, UFC, NASCAR, etc. I gotta tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. To get that behind the curtain peek that we don't typically get. It's been a nice change of pace as far as I'm concerned. You four are against artificial fan noise.
How's that upstate car look on TV right there?
It looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good as the Greenville Swamp Rabbits ride that was rolling around for a couple weeks. But not bad. Not a bad look.
No, don't clean up for him.
No, yeah, leave
don't
those.
Clean up for him. Mr. He did this. He has to clean it up.
Robert.
This is a learning opportunity.
I almost slipped and fell.
This is a learning opportunity.
Why
for
is
Robert.
Everybody so dramatic on a Monday? Everybody's so damn dramatic today. I know.
Get it all out now.
That's right. The artificial crowd noise feels fake to me. What I would love to happen, knowing that athletes say a lot of things that I wouldn't say in front of my mama on the radio, I am cool with the networks maybe doing something similar to the way that The Last Dance went. One channel, piped in auto noise so that you don't have to hear the mics on the field. And you hear more than just the two broadcasters in the booth and nothing else. On another channel, we're going all in. You are going to hear bad language, play calls, arguments with the referee. Just give it all to me. I'd be in for that. I'd pay for that. I would subscribe to that service. Diesel and Rob, 1 hour to go. And it's next on the Rob Brown Show in ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.